Thanks for Sunday school. It's a blessing. And we're thankful that everybody came out, even though the weather is cool out today. But I thought, you know what? We may not like the weather so much today with it being cool. We have somewhere else to be looking forward to in the future, do we not? Those of us who know the Lord. So we're going to sing some songs about heaven today. Let's turn to number 12 in our chorus book. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Do, Lord. Heaven is a wonderful place. 21.
Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a glorious, heaven is a beautiful, heaven is a wonderful place.
All right, number 38. I'm going higher someday.
Yes.
38. Number 54, there's going to be a meeting in the air. 54.
Meet them all.
I know all of us have loved ones and friends that have already gone on to heaven before us, including our beloved pastor, who's been with God now for over 3 years. Just this week was the 7th year since my dad went home to heaven. So he died on the 17th of September back in 2013. So, but you know what? I'm going to see him again.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, that's the blessed hope that we all have.
Amen.
So let's thank the Lord for his blessings to us. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that you have provided this facility for us to meet in, and for the blessed privilege that we have to meet in your house. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that as we study it today, that you would use Brother Myers as he teaches and preaches the Word today. We ask that each of us would receive a blessing, and that you would receive the honor and the glory for all that is said and done. If there are areas in our lives that are not pleasing to you, we pray that through the preaching and teaching of your Word today, that you would point those out to us, and may your Spirit impress upon us those things, and may we deal with those things and get them right before you. Thank you again for the opportunity we have. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we've already mentioned how the weather is cooling off, so it won't be too much longer that we have to take care of the facility here as far as mowing and weed whacking for this season. However, it's still going to be warm enough during the day for a little bit yet that we're going to have to do that. So for this week and the two following weeks, we have spaces to sign up for anybody who would like to help us out there. So please do so over here on the organ, and take care of that until the end of the season. And we'll see how much longer it goes. Based on previous years, we probably will go no longer than the end of October. And that'll probably be the end of it. So we'll see what the Lord does. And obviously, this is earlier than usual for the cooler weather to hit. So we'll just have to see what happens. All right. That's all the announcements I have for right now. We'll have others that we'll have during the morning service. Okay. Let's turn to number 78. Victory in Jesus.
Life on Calvary to save a wretch.
1:22. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. 1:22. Number 211, Everything's All Right in My Father's House. Yes. All right. We'll sing that one. That'll be our last one for Sunday school.
Joy.
this side of heaven, it doesn't get any better than that, does it not? Okay. We have one birthday this week. It's Brother Jim Lambert. Those of us who have been coming here a long time know that when we were able to have our evening services, Brother Lambert and his wife Lucy have been faithful for many years. And due to their schedule, they're unable to attend the other services we have. So just pray for both of them. They have physical struggles they have, and obviously not being able to come here because of our current situation looking for our new pastor. So continue to pray for both them and for all of us here, and especially for the committee, that we would do what's right before the Lord, and that God will provide us with the right man at the right time. So wasn't able to get it in time, but I will make sure to get a birthday card for Brother Jim, and I'll have it here, and then it'll be a little late, but we're going to send it to him and make sure he gets a notification that we're concerned about him and how he's doing. So we'll take care of that in a little bit. All right, I know we're behind schedule, and I'm sorry about that, but anyway, the children's class can be dismissed now. Colossians chapter 3, we'll just go over the memory verses real quick. Next Sunday, we are going to move on to the next memory verse. We're still going to be in the same book, but it's Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. So those of you who would like to start studying that, you can certainly do so. But for this week, we're still on Colossians 3, 16 and 17. All right. We'll just go over it one time together, and then Brother Myers will turn it over to you then. Okay. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. By the way, I think we just did that, did we not? All right. Brother Myers.
Good morning. Good morning. Fantastic to be here with you this morning for
Romans chapter 6. Let me steer your attention down to verse number 11. We'll read this one verse. We'll take a moment to place ourselves before God's throne of grace in prayer, and then we'll continue with our instruction for this morning. Romans 6:1 says this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But, I love it when they throw those buts in there, especially the Apostle Paul. He's such a mastermind of contrast. But, alive unto God, now this is the key phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do come humbly before you this morning. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be suffering through sickness, injury, illness, maybe depression or other reasons. We ask that your grace on their behalf would be more than sufficient. We ask that as we humble ourselves before your throne of grace this morning, that the grace that you provide for us is, though similar to that which you provide for them to sustain them in their infirmities, but your grace would be sufficient for us as we open our ears and our hearts that we might receive the engrafted word, which is able to change, to transform, to transfigure, to make new our souls. And therefore, we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Two concepts that are absolutely necessary for you and for me to grab a hold of, to think on, to appreciate, and to remember in our Christian lives during this time in particular that we live. Number one is the security of our salvation in Jesus Christ. But number two is the certainty of our victory in this life. I remember back in the early years, after graduating from college, being married to my wife, now 22 years, back then just a couple of years, only had one child, now we have four, two of them are out of the house, two of them, praise the Lord, are still in the house. But we began deputation for the mission field. The Lord used us for his glory as church planters in Tanzania, East Africa for 13 years. But prior to that, during the 2.5 years we traveled on deputation, it was an interesting time. Back in the early 2000s, instead of these nice video presentations that we have today, I had a, I don't even know what they call them, a slide projector. That's what it was. I had a slide projector. Now, I didn't have enough money to buy a slide projector at that time. I didn't even have enough money to be married, but there it was. Didn't have enough money for a child, but there he was. But there was a man in our church at that time who went to a yard sale in the little town of Alabama, where we lived at that point. And it was a yard sale that was put on by a local police precinct. And so they had in that yard sale about a 30-year-old slide projector that projected about 10 feet in front of you. And you had to kind of cup your eyes like this and look real close. And then you could make out the images on those slides as it was projecting forward. And it was a television screen on the front side as well. That was for the use inside of a classroom. And it had this long black cord with a clicker. Click, click. Then when it clicked, you could hear it click. And that carousel moving on the top. Then it went to the next slide. So that was the time frame that I was on deputation. Now, before we went to the field, we had to set up churches for us to visit in order to present our burden and churches to maybe take us on for financial support. And as I contacted pastors on the phone, and they agreed to have us come, I would set up circuits of meetings, 2-3 churches a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And usually it was a far from home. We were traveling for about a month or so at a time and coming back. So I had to determine exactly where the church location was. And so I would take the address to the churches, and I would go down to the local AAA where we had been given a membership. We couldn't afford that, but we were given a membership there. My mother-in-law, bless her, had that for us. And we gave them the locations, and they mapped out exactly where we needed to go. Some of you shaking your head like, yeah, I remember that. That was only, you know, 20 plus years ago. Yes, it was only 20 plus years ago. And so I would get those back, and I would rehearse before going on the trip, following that pink, purple line from page after page. This is how we get around this city and that city going. And then about a week before I would go on this extended trip, I would call the pastors again. Looking forward to being there with you. Excited. Going to have me preach, show video, testimony. Thank you for that. Now listen, there's one more thing that is absolutely necessary for me to know. After I get close to the church address here, can you tell me exactly how to get to your house or the host house that I'm going to stay with? And they would always tell me something like this. All right. As you come into town, you'll see these big oak trees on the right hand side and a red barn. All right. Now, when you get down past that, you're going to not that road, but the following road after that. But instead of right, you're going to go left, and you'll see that it's an old gravel road. All right. Not a paved road. And so they're not saying Highway 72 to State Highway 91 to County Road 4. And then the house number is this. It was always by landmarks. Right. All right. And so I'm scribbling down line after line after line. Go over that again. And so I got all of the instructions down, and I could have, in my dreams, as I am going through the nightmares, laying in bed before going on this trip, I'm rehearsing, oh, he said this and he said that, and I could see it going there. So when I went on the trip, as I was going around the cities according to the map or getting close to a person's house, I'm reading through the instructions, remembering his voice in my head, looking at what I'm writing, and said, there's the tree. All right. Now, there can't be any other tree just like that tree, like he said. So I turn there and I finally get there. Listen, there was a lot of mental and preparation and trouble that I went through. Sweetheart, would you bring me that water that this brother so lovingly provided for me that I forgot to bring up here. And so even today, 15, 20 plus years now after going to many of those places, as I'm driving down a road, for whatever reason, I'm like, I remember this road. There should be a tree right there. It is. There should be a rep. There it is. And I remember. Why? Because the amount of anxiety and musing and planning that went into me finding that. You know what? I was going to the airport to fly out to Des Moines, Iowa just a week ago. And I was going, my wife was with me. She didn't go on the trip, but I was going on a trip with another pastor. We're going out there to speak to several churches. Never been to Iowa before. I live in Lebanon. Lebanon, just, you know, what, 15 miles or so from the Harrisburg Airport. And so going over there, I plug in to my GPS exactly how to get to the airport. My pastor friend is from Central Florida. He's up there visiting. We're going out there to keynote speak. And we're on our way to the airport, listening to the GPS. And my pastor friend, he says to me, how many times have you been to Harrisburg Airport? Lots of times. In the last 3 years, and even before that, lots of times. Driven there, driven back. It's like, but you use the GPS. If you weren't using the GPS, could you get there? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, I could. I'm sure I could, but I need that GPS to get there. And when we came back, my wife came and picked me up. It was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. We're coming back in the dark, and I got the GPS going, and I'm thinking, I don't need the GPS until I missed a turn. I was confused. Now, this is my point. I couldn't get 15 miles from the airport that I had visited over and over and over again back to my house. But just some few years back, I could get from our home in Pensacola, Florida, without even looking at a map anymore because of the amount of preparation, to my parents' house near Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the GFF headquarters in Myerstown, Pennsylvania, or practically to anywhere else in the, you know, east of the Mississippi, or even going out to the heartland. Why? Because the amount of time and thought and mental preparation that went into it. When we look at Romans chapter 6, we many times have forgotten where we have come to in our journey to receive Christ and in our Christian life. Why? Because we go through a GPS type scenario where we expect every Sunday or every Wednesday we're going to be reminded, and I don't have to necessarily remember. Are you with me? But the days where we need to be able to recall and remember are necessary before us. Like the days before GPS, I can go through it in our mind. When we come to Romans 6:11, it uses this word at the very beginning, likewise reckon. Now, my dad used to use the word reckon all the time because I grew up in Oklahoma. Are we going to church today? Well, I reckon. We grew up listening to that word. The word here in the Greek has the idea of a financial ledger. That means the amount of money that you have literally in the bank there is the reality. That's how much you have. Let's say $10,000. You know, I joke sometimes to tell everyone every payday I'm a thousandaire for about two or three days. But no matter how much or how little money I have in the bank, I don't have the working capacity, the assurance of what is there without an accurate ledger that I could count on. I may have $10,000 there, but when I look at the ledger, if it's not clear or if it's not recorded, I am always anxious, I'm always guessing, I'm always assuming. But when Paul says here, likewise, reckon, he is telling us that look at the ledger, make sure your accounts are right so it is written down to accurately record what the reality is in the bank. When we are in Christ Jesus, he wants us to have an accurate, true understanding, belief, reasonable conclusion exactly at where we are in Christ. What we have in the account of our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ in our present day, we need to be able to look at it and reckon that it is true. Verse 11 says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look back at the word likewise, the very first word. Likewise. What is that word tied to? It's tied to this. It's tied to the fact that Jesus Christ died for sin. In his death, he literally was buried, and then 3 days later, he rose back to life. So when he did that, as he died, was buried, and rose back to life, so that when we are placed in salvation into the person of Jesus Christ, we likewise are counted to be dead and then alive. As a matter of fact, Paul says this in the verses here. In verse 3, he says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? So the word baptized is the Greek word that means to be dipped or plunged or placed into something. All right? There are three different types of baptisms, methods of baptisms that's talked about in the New Testament. One is the baptism of a person after he's made a profession of faith in Christ. He demonstrates his new walk in Christ by being placed under the water to show that he is now dead to his old life as a picture, a preaching, or a testimony to others, so that when he comes up out of the water, he says goodbye to the old life and loyalties, to the new life and loyalties. So one baptism is by water. Another baptism that the Bible talks about is a baptism of suffering. a baptism of suffering. Jesus walking with his disciples asked him, can we be in the new kingdom on your left side and on your right side? And Jesus said, it's not for me to say who will be on my left side or on my right side in the kingdom of God. But let me ask you this. Can you drink of the cup that I will drink of? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I have been baptized with? And the disciple says, yes, we are able. Not realizing the meaning of this word baptism, he's talking about a baptism of suffering in death, meaning the life that the disciples would live. And because Jesus went on to say what? You are going to be baptized with this baptism and you are going to drink of this cup. You're right. But to say, I don't have the right to say at this time. So as Jesus would go on, would be betrayed, would be persecuted and suffer and die, so the disciples would go on and do the same thing in their apostleship. They would be placed into or plunged underneath suffering and ultimate death for the purpose of living for Christ. And that is the idea of suffering or the idea of baptism here. Now, here in this passage, baptism is not talking about water. It's not talking about suffering and death. It's talking about the spiritual placing of a person into the person of Jesus Christ. And so when we read here about Paul saying, know ye not, that so many of us as we're baptized into what? Water? No. Into what? Sufferings? No. Into the person of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now here's the key, verse 5. For if we have been planted together, planted together, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this is where we get the idea that our salvation is eternally secure. It's eternally secure. Why? Because Paul is making this argument. He's saying, if you have been spiritually placed inside the person of Jesus Christ, this is what it means. Jesus died. Therefore, you died with him. Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, you rose with him when you received Christ as your Savior. And this is how it plays out. Because he resurrected back to life, listen, as Hebrews says, never to die again. So it is with you who have made a profession of faith in the person of Christ, being placed into him, shall never die again. And that's the reason why it is called eternal life. It's called eternal life, not provisionary life. And not just spiritual life. Do you know we're all born spiritually dead? Spiritually, we're born dead. Why isn't it called we are born eternally dead? You know why? Because the word eternal, as it modifies death, has no end. It has no end. It literally can't have any end. And so it's said that we are spiritually dead. And if you never receive Christ, when you die physically and you receive the wages of our sin in hell, guess what happens? Then you are eternally dead. Because that death in hell never ends. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, from the moment of belief, you receive eternal life. Eternal life. Not just spiritual life, but eternal life. Because at the moment you believe, going forward, you never die again. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's what Jesus said. Believest thou this? And so as Jesus, his work is finished. Death, burial, resurrection, we're placed in Christ. Our death to sin, the wages of sin, the punishment of sin, are now gone because we are guaranteed, as this says, to be resurrected to life. Now, that is eternal security. The salvation that we have presently is eternally secure without any conditions. But Paul is using this as a crux or a preaching point in order to punch home that just as it is that you can never die, you're eternally secure in Christ, this is what it also means. As you are eternally secure for Christ, you are guaranteed the resurrection to go on to be in God's eternal kingdom. So it is right now in this life, you have certain victory over sin. And so he says, he goes on to say this in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, don't we? If we are dead with Christ, we believe we shall also be resurrected the way that he was resurrected to glory, and we will be in heaven never to leave. But even now, salvation is eternal. So in verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, there's our word. Likewise, as Jesus died once and is now alive forevermore, likewise, you and I have the certain recognition, the certainty in this life that we ourselves can be reckoned to be dead to sin. Death has no more victory over us. Sin has no more power over us. That means that when we are confronted with the sin of critical rebellion, the sin of unbelief, the sin of lying or deception or manipulation, the sin that causes us to stumble and bring upon us guilt and shame, we are free from its power. There is no time where we can say, I just fell into bad circumstances. It just happened to me. No, we made a choice to choose to place ourselves under something that has no authority, that has no right, that has no purpose over my life. Instead of recognizing the lordship of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and saying, hey, he has the victory, I have the victory. And that's why at the end of this verse it says, but reckon yourselves to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our Lord. He has the authority over our life, and we are thankful to him for that. Listen, just like when I was a new missionary on deputation, and I labored over the planning and the thinking of the concept that I need to know how to get to where I'm going. And then for years and years later, I've never forgotten it. So it is, you and I need to recognize sin has no dominion. Christ himself has the authority. Our salvation is secure and our victory is certain. Instead of forgetting it from one week to the next, don't run your life on the voice of a GPS. Run yourself on the musing of the truth of God's word, and you'll never forget it, where we are in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we could think through a couple of these important thoughts. I pray that you will bless as we continue to worship you in this church hour, the time that we come together as the ecclesia, the called out ones of the body of Christ, and allow you to speak to us through your word, that we might humbly walk within it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.